Hello, everybody out there in internet radio land. This is Blake Ruby. Welcome to my show, Gods and Goddesses. It's a beautiful day here in San Antonio. The sun's gone down. I went out today. I ran a mile around this dirt track on Lackland Air Force Base. And it's the third day in a row I ran a mile. It's a good feeling. No, not too far, not too little. I've been mainly doing smaller runs before I decided I wanted to start running on this dirt track. I really like dirt tracks. You know, I've done a little bit of research, and a lot of people do like them. I've mentioned that on previous shows, how some of the marathon runners, some of the famous people we know, they practice on dirt roads, dirt trails. And then when the time comes to do a marathon or some kind of competitive run, then they run on highways, you know, asphalt or concrete. But anyway, there's a one-mile dirt track on Lackland that goes around in a circle. Today I went to the left. I've been usually going to the right. And I also incorporated a little bit of cadence. You know, there was one other guy out there running. It was about 10 o'clock in the morning. Kind of cool, maybe about 50 degrees. It's nice, blue skies, lots of sunshine. And it feels good afterwards. You know, if you feel like you're on automatic and your appetite, you keep your appetite up. It's a good thing, you know, to keep your immune system up, especially with the virus, you know, this virus going around. I don't want to panic. You know, I think there's a lot of panic going around. Some people make it more than it actually is, I believe. I mean, it's a serious thing, no doubt. You know, people have died previous years, the flu, you know, the flu virus, every year before 2020, approximately 100,000 people, if my memory serves me correct, die in the United States. Maybe a little bit less than that, but a lot more. There's a lot more cases. So there's really nothing new. I mean, a virus is a virus, whether it's a flu virus or a coronavirus. You know, the main thing is we want to keep our immune systems up. And eating the right food, and also exercising, and not eating too much, you know, because when our digestive systems are overworked, you know, work overtime, then our immune systems are lowered, and that's when the virus attacks. Because all this bacteria here on planet Earth exists, you know, nothing new came out of nowhere; it was already here, and there is bacteria in our bodies, you know, that is dormant, waiting to come up. And that's usually we're able to keep it under control, you know. But when our immune systems are lowered, or maybe we get some food poisoning, E. coli, salmonella, don't forget, they're still out there. So food poisoning kind of morphs into a virus. You know, that's when the virus attacks. And it seems to be, it might be a safe assumption, even though I don't like saying it, that it's getting worse, you know, as we go along here. So we have to be intelligent about it. Don't listen to all the hype, you know, that some of the news stations will tell you. I don't know how they keep all the numbers, but that's really beside the point. The main thing is trust in yourself, what you know. You're an individual. You're a co-creator, God in the making, like I say in my show and in my website on BBS Radio. Many thanks to BBS Radio for all they do. May God bless them. And I know that there's a lot of great people out there that have wonderful shows. And if you're listening to my show and you want your own, I would say go for it, because it's a great thing to be able to talk for an hour about something you're passionate on, you know, and it's worth it, really, if you can make the investment. It's an incredible thing, and time just seems to fly for me. It really does. And I change subjects fast and furiously. I say things that may offend some people, but if you don't want to listen, that's up to you, you know. But I've got some good stuff. I talk about my life. I talk about my beliefs. My beliefs are based on a lot of books I've read. I'm 66 years old, so also I have a lot of experience. I'm still alive, you know. Every day is a blessing. So hang in there. I've got good things to talk about today that I know you will find interesting. And a lot of what I say is based on logic. It's One thing I am, I'm a logical person. In the Army, I was an administrative non-commissioned officer, and I learned to type. Type letters, memorandums, paperwork. I'm all about the word. I know words. I know how to. My mother was English. My parents were English. So my mother was always correcting me when I used the wrong language, wrong grammar. So that leads one to become very logical, you know, and rational about some things. And I don't mean to, and I do, and I will continue to question some things in the Bible. It's not that I don't love the Bible. I do. I believe in most of it. I think it's a great source of information. It's very holy. It shines with a special kind of light, and it's a record of divine intervention like the world has never seen before. The miracles of Moses, of Jesus, I really focus on them more than anything else. But before I continue on, let me just say, I wish you all a belated, I know what I didn't get a chance to say that in my last show last Saturday, a belated Merry Christmas to you all. I didn't see any Star of Bethlehem anywhere. There's no no record, nothing talking about that light that shone down on that stable. Many years ago, by the way, it couldn't have been a whole heavenly body, because heavenly bodies are in motion, right? Astronomical fact. And so what was it? An extraterrestrial probe. Very simple. And my rationale behind that is, ladies and gentlemen, we've been, throughout the history of this world, under observation by some extraterrestrial races. You have to understand that in our galaxy and in the universe, the more advanced civilizations have been given guardianship, if you will, of the lower evolved civilizations like us here on planet Earth. And every now and then they have to intervene and help out. You've heard of the book Chariots of the Gods by Erich von Däniken? A lot of what he said is true, I believe. It's very logical. A lot of instances in the Bible can be explained in terms of extraterrestrial phenomena. Ezekiel's wheel in the sky, the lightning and thunder from Mount Sinai, and a lot of what happened during Jesus' time with the shepherds who were out there. What's that song, that Christmas carol? My wife and I have a solo at church tomorrow. And it's not the same as it used to be, because right now there's not a lot of people who are coming to the congregation. Not like before. We had usually 100 plus people in the pews, you know. But now it's being live streamed on Facebook, but it still goes on, and we're singing even with face masks on. It's hard, you know, to sing with a face mask on. But my wife and I are singing Go Tell It on the Mountain tomorrow. And one of the verses goes something like this. I forget the exact words. And we're going to practice it tomorrow morning. So, I mean, I know it pretty well. And I'll probably look at the words to get them down tonight. Also, the other songs that we're going to be singing. But one verse goes, while shepherds watch were keeping, or silent flocks by night, behold, above the heavens, there came a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. So shepherds, oh shepherds, you know, there were some angels that came to them. Now, don't get me wrong, angels do exist, just like demons. You know, we can't see them. We can't hear them. Sometimes they're in that other dimension, you know, outside of the five physical senses. But also these extraterrestrials that contact us, or that interact with us here on Earth, they have the capability to do things that make it seem like real angels are amongst us. You know, Joseph being visited in a dream by Archangel Gabriel, telling him to accept his fiance Mary's pregnancy. And, there's quite a few instances of these extraterrestrials. They can do some amazing things because they have the technology, they have the knowledge, they have the benefit of being alive a lot longer than we have here on Earth. some millions of years, hundreds of millions of years in advance of our own. And so it's kind of like they're the college graduates, and we're just kindergartners, if you will. Doesn't make them any better than us, but they know the way, and we don't. And there's a lot of confusion going on nowadays. You know, what is the truth? All so many different religions. I'm more Christian than anything else, you know. But did you know that Muslim is actually the more dominant religion in the world? And then there's Hindus and Buddhists. I think Christianity is like 13% of the world's population. Muslims are like 20%. Forget how many are Hindus and Buddhists, and the rest is broken down into small other small religions. But all these different religions, my friends, which one is the truth? Which one is telling the truth? So let me tell you something. I heard this song today. And one thing I do, and I've told this before on my shows, is that I want to, my goal, my objective is to eventually have contact with extraterrestrials. I want to do my part, if I can, in the best way I know how, with as much intelligence and wisdom as I know how, to bring that contact into place between human beings and extraterrestrials who are out there. We're stuck in what I call a pre-Copernican gap, like before Copernicus, pre-Copernicum. Before Copernicus, the world believed that everything revolved around the Earth, that the sun and the stars revolved around the Earth. That was a mindset of people just like you and me, who were living back then, who are now dead, maybe some reincarnated on this planet or other planets around the universe. They believe that, just like they believed the world was flat at one time, and now we're stuck in that gap, if you will, where we don't know if we're alone in the universe. We don't know if the world is teeming, if the universe is teeming with life, and it is. And I've proven that before with logic, and I'll prove it again. I love to say this. I'll say it over again and over and over. I'll say it each time my show comes on. If all this life here on Earth, the millions, over a million types of insects, over 30,000 types of fish, over 10,000 types of birds, over 10,000 types of reptiles, over 9,000 types of amphibians, over 5,000 types of mammals, all the flowers, all the trees, all the fruits, the vegetables, if all that happened by accident, logically, it could happen by accident anywhere in the universe. And, you know, there's a lot of planets out there. The Kepler telescope is finding new planets every day. As we speak, they're finding new planets revolving around suns out there in the universe, right? So there should be no doubt in anyone's mind that there are more planets out there, and we're discovering more and more each day, right? So if it happened by accident here, all this life, it could happen by accident on one of those planets. They don't necessarily have to have water and nitrogen, oxygen atmosphere for there to be life, because life, as we found, and I think it's logical to say that it's indigenous to the atmosphere of the planet. The Creator obviously can do anything with the power and the knowledge to create this life on Earth. Just think of all the the different types of bodies, insects, some that can fly, they have eyes, they have metabolisms, and they can reproduce, they know where they're going, a little fly. And all the fly wants to do is find food. You know, it gets into the wrong places, and they're very pesky, you know, and bother us. But you have to admire just how incredible a little thing of life they are. You know, with a mind of their own, and they can go where they want to, and they can see. They have eyes that see, tiny little eyes that see, wings that will fly them wherever they want to go very quickly. Isn't that amazing? And so if all this life here happened by accident, logically it could happen by accident elsewhere in the universe, anywhere. But if there is a Creator who is knowledgeable and powerful enough to create this life on Earth, logically, I do mean logically, that Creator would have the power and knowledge to create either the same or different life that we have no idea, can't even imagine what it's like anywhere. And I do mean A-N-Y-W-H-E-R-E in the universe, whether it's 100 light years away or a million light years away from Earth, you know, and the universe is a very large place, 15 billion light years in diameter. So, in other words, 30 billion light years long. Oh, my God. That's a big place, huh? That's bigger than my backyard, that's for sure. So, let me tell you something. We are not alone. Open your mind. The time is now. We are not alone. Open your mind. The time is now. We are not alone. Open your mind. The time is now. So Jesus, I was thinking, you know, I love the Bible, and I'm more Christian than any other religion. When I was in the Army, I had dog tags I used to wear around my neck, and they said no religious preference. My parents, they brought me up. They were English, so I was Anglican Protestant, you know. But I think in order for us to find the truth, we have to break down some walls of wrong thinking, for lack of a better way of putting it. We have to do the right thing. We have to say the right thing. And this pandemic that we have here on Earth at this time is helping us to realize that there's things that we can do better. Our thinking can be better. Our words can be better. We need to focus. We really do. I mean, we're a young civilization, a young species, and we need to get on the right paths of doing things. So we have a future, you know. We don't want to destroy ourselves, right? Everyone agrees. I think most people agree with that. We have these occasional active shooter events, or this recently, this explosion in Nashville. Somebody, some poor soul who was probably mentally imbalanced, and this has happened many times before. It's a shame. It really is a shame that that kind of thing has to happen in the United States of America. Imagine if that happened in China. No, that wouldn't happen in China. They wouldn't allow that to happen. But we do. One thing is, because people, these mentally imbalanced, for lack of a way of putting it, they see, in my opinion, among other reasons, they see it as their time, their opportunity to have their name in the newspapers, on television, their fame, you know, their time in the spotlight, just like Jack the Ripper. Oh, this person blew up and killed so many people. He's famous now, you know, he's on the news, and the news runs with it. I heard him talking about it today. But in a civilized world, because you have to realize that the news stations tend to sensationalize things, and they harp on things longer than they should have, than they should do. If it was me running the world, I would have, you know, I would broadcast that situation like, ladies and gentlemen, today we had an explosion in Nashville, and so many people were killed. Our hearts and prayers go out to the loved ones of those people. You know, may God comfort them, and those people that lost their lives, may God bless their souls. We know they're in a better place where there's no pain and no suffering. We miss them. We love them. The person that did this, it's a shame that this has to happen in a civilized country. And the individual took his or her own life. You know, may God have mercy on their soul. And stop. Full stop. Move on to the next subject. No more discussion about it. But it drags on, and it's no wonder these things continue to happen, because they get their day, their fame, their notoriety, you know, Jack the Ripper kind of in effect. That's what I call it, you know. But as I was saying, you know, in this, moving on to another subject, one thing I talk about on my show, and I don't mean to offend people, but I like to correct errors that I see in the Bible. Now, don't get me wrong, because again, I'm no religious preference. I'm not a Muslim, not a Hindu, not a Buddhist. And I'm not entirely a Christian either. But I see that there are some pretty serious errors in the Christian religion which need to be corrected in order to make the world a better place, in order for the truth to come out, because we need to have contact with extraterrestrials. There are brothers and sisters and spirits out there waiting for us, but we are at such a lower evolved status. We need to evolve ourselves up to a higher level. And in order to do that, we have to correct some of these thinking that we have that has been passed down through centuries. Now, don't get me wrong with Jesus. I'm going to talk about some things, and I'm not intimidated. And you know, throughout our history, people that have talked against the beliefs of the Christian churches have been thought of as heretics, blasphemy, you know. That doesn't frighten me. I know that people have been killed for going against what people believe. Imagine that. Isn't that ridiculous to be killed just because you differ with someone's beliefs, you know? The Muslims, for example, they don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was just a prophet. Well, I don't believe that. I think he was more than a prophet, you know? But a lot of people focus on Jesus having died for our sins. And I don't think that's true, because in order to believe that, you have to believe that Adam and Eve existed. And for me, that's a fantasy. It's not real. It's a fairy tale created by somebody. Who was there anyway to write that down? Who wrote that part of the Bible? Who was there to see it all happen? Who handed that story down? Who initiated that story, even before Cain and Abel? Who knew that? All that information. It was made up by somebody. If you believe in Adam and Eve, then you don't believe that human beings came here from other planets. You don't believe that the universe is teeming with life, that we are not alone in the universe. That's what those people who believe that there's Adam and Eve and that Jesus died for our sins. No, he didn't, in my opinion. I'm entitled to my opinion. You know, we have freedom of speech here in the United States, so I'll just go ahead and run with the ball. Jesus died on the cross because he wanted to die. He had to die. He performed all those miracles. Now, that's something more to focus on. The miracles that Jesus performed, each and every one of them. And I've talked about them a lot on my previous shows. Jesus told everybody that he would die on the cross. He had to die. Why did he have to die? He said that I would die, and after 3 days, I would be raised up again. I would be resurrected. That's what he said. He had to die because the greatest miracle was the resurrection. And people just wouldn't believe in him, and his story wouldn't last throughout the centuries unless he died and was brought back to life. Now, as far as dying for our sins, I don't believe that. And just to branch off into another area of that subject, Jesus, it says in the Bible that no man comes to the Father except through me. Now, hold on. Wait. Wait just a second. How ridiculous can it be? It's like saying, first of all, when he uses the word father, he's implying that he's a brother. Right? Right? And then, it's like if you were in your family and you had a mother and father and a brother and a sister, and your older brother tells you, you can't talk with the father unless you go through me. How would you feel? That's logical. Case closed. No further discussion necessary. Jesus taught us to pray in the Sermon on the Mount, our Father who art in heaven. Now, if you ever speak those words, and you can't speak the same words, John 3:16, so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. No, We are all children of God. You and I, we have spirits in our body, and our spirits and our souls were created by our mother and father God in heaven. So we don't need no intermediary to show us a way to get to them, the creators of our souls and our spirits. We can have a direct relationship. Don't you see that this was created for the church, because the church is a money-based business, is a money-making business? You are capable. You are co-creator God in the making. You don't need any intermediary. You can communicate directly with the Mother and Father God. You don't need Jesus. I mean, he's there. I'm sure he appreciates all your thoughts and all your prayers to him and for the trust that you put in him. You know, he did a lot of miraculous things, but guess what? There's someone more powerful and more greater than he is, and that is your Father in heaven, your Father God, and your Mother God. And I've talked about this on many shows before. Logically, there has to be a Mother God, because you can't have children without a mother and a father. Here on earth, do you know any fathers here in the physical world that are capable of creating children by themselves? Well, then, how can you say that they're in the spirit world, things are different? You don't know anything about the spirit world. You do know something about the material world. And like I said, you need a mother and a father to create children. We're not bastards. We have a mother and father here on earth, and we have a mother and a father and mother and a father in heaven. We're not going to get to heaven and say, are we motherless children in heaven? No, we have a mother in heaven, and she's very, very beautiful, a beautiful lady of light. Now, the Bible doesn't talk about it, but you have to realize that men were very biased, very discriminatory towards women back then. A crazy kind of thing, but I blame it on lower evolution. You know, them, the mother of our children raising children in their children in their body for 9 months. All of us were in utero at one time for 9 months. We're big babies. And women just don't get the respect they deserve. They deserve a tremendous amount of admiration and respect for being co-creators with God. Imagine you men out there having a baby grow in your body. You can hardly imagine that. I remember there was one movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I forget the name of it. Kindergarten Cop, maybe? Oh, I forget the name, but in that movie, he supposedly got pregnant. A man being pregnant. Impossible, really, but it was just a movie made for fun. The point is, women are the bearers of all the children on earth, and it's amazing. But blame it on lower evolution. Again, I understand that they don't get that respect that they deserve. They should be held up on a pedestal, admired, and worshipped. For having a body, you were born in your mother's womb. You out there listening, are you giving your mother the respect she deserves? Men don't understand what women go through, being biological clocks, which I don't know too much about, but I do know that I was born and I was in fetal development for 9 months. I don't remember anything of it. I've read a lot on that subject, people who have had near-death experiences. I read from a book, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, called The Soul's Remembrance by Roy Mills. And he, when we're born here on Earth, we come from a pre-existence. So we came from heaven, and we're going to go back to heaven. Some people, maybe not right away, because they might get involved with some really bad things like murder, rape, physical violence, sexual violence, sexual immorality, sexual abuse. And just like, take the movie Ghost, for example, with Patrick Swayze. You know, the bad guy, Willie, and bad guy, I forget his Carl, right? They get dragged away at the end when they die, and they get buddies, spirits in black, and taken down beneath the Earth's surface. That's what happens to them. They go to hell, which is beneath the surface of the Earth, in the interior where there's a lot of molten lava and the smell is very putrid. But this is kind of a spiritual realm dimension. You know, you're not in your physical body, but it's very real for the spirits, because when we leave this body, we are spirits, spirits of light. And so we have to pay for our sins. You know, if we make some big mistakes, then we have to pay for those mistakes, but it's not eternal damnation. I don't care what anybody says. There's no such thing as eternal damnation, because our mother and Father God are very loving, more loving than those people that think there is eternal damnation. There are some unloving people that think that way, you know, to not forgive a child of their own just because they're disobedient. So there's a lot of things we need to change, you know, to pull together as one human race, you know, to unite in the goal to develop ourselves spiritually, because that's why we're here, my friends, on Earth, to develop ourselves spiritually. And Christmas is always a special time of the year. And I love Jesus. You know, when I get to heaven, I know I'm going to see Jesus. He's going to walk up to me. I'm going to look into his eyes. And I don't know what he's going to say. He might think that maybe I didn't do everything I could to support him here on Earth, to tell the people that he's coming back one day. But one thing I know about Jesus is the Jesus that died on the cross. Now, if you listen to my previous shows, I believe that the Jesus that was born in Bethlehem was different than the Jesus that died on the cross. The Jesus that was born in Bethlehem, he left that area at age 12, 14 years old and went to China and Burma and eventually to Japan, got married, had children, died of a ripe old age. Go check it out on the internet. I've mentioned that before many times. But the Jesus that came and he was around the 30-year age mold, and he was an extraterrestrial who was in a human body and dropped off by ETs, kind of like, the best way I can explain it to you is like in the movie Avatar. You know how they had the blue bodies? I'm sure everybody out there has seen, if you haven't seen the movie Avatar, you've been hiding under a rock somewhere. So they have these blue bodies. They're able to transfer their spirits, their astral bodies, into the blue bodies and then walk around and perform just like they do in their human body. So same with these ETs from this very highly developed planet that's out there called Thiouba. And so he had to prepare himself. He had to learn the language. He knew what he had to do. Had to impress the people, had to convince the people that what he told them was the truth. They had to believe in him, so he had to perform miracles. There's no greater thing to convince someone of what you're teaching them than to perform a miracle occasionally. If I was to, like, go on television and levitate right in front of the cameras, you know, to like 5 feet above the ground, or if I was to take my finger out and have an object come to me like in telekinesis, and they couldn't prove that it was through some neat trick, but actually through magic or some power, then all of a sudden, you better believe that people would be listening to what I had to say, you know? The same with Jesus. All those miracles from changing water into wine, walking on the water, to calming the sea, Sermon on the Mount, feeding 5,000 people. Started out with just a few loaves of bread and some fish, you know, and raising Lazarus from the dead, curing the blind, healing the blind, curing the lepers, exorcising demons from people, curing paralyzed people. And who knows what else he did that wasn't captured in the Bible. Because, I mean, as far as writing the Bible, you know, unless you're right there and seeing, you know, copying word for word, I'm sure the disciples weren't standing there with a piece of paper or notepad and a pen writing down word for word what Jesus said, you know, back then. No, they had to wait until afterwards when they started writing their own chapters of the Bible, the New Testament. And you know how hard it is to remember everything that someone says? Even though I'm sure Jesus was very understandable and memorable, everything he had to say was easy to remember, but still, each of the disciples had their own take on what Jesus says. It's obvious. You can look for yourself there in the New Testament how their accounts vary, how they differ. So one has to take that into consideration, too, when you think about not everything being captured and some of the things that were said might not be entirely true. That's logical. You have to logically accept that. Any logical person would. Now, not everybody out there is logical. I understand that. So me, I do love Jesus, and I know who he was. He had to die. That was the thing. And then be resurrected. So I can't remember how many people saw him after he came back to life. You know, they took him down off the cross. His body was dead. His heart had stopped beating. He stopped breathing. He had no pulse. And they put him in the grave. And then, so these ETs, they got him out. They beamed him to, I mean, this Star Trek technology, sci-fi, you know, it's a sci-fi subject, you know, Star Trek movie series. But it has a lot of really relevant technological ideas, which are explainable, are applicable, beaming people from one location to another is a thing of the future, my friends. It's very possible. It all comes down to the manipulation of matter, isolating every bit of matter to its smallest particles and molecules, and then replicating those molecules or holding them in a certain pattern and then just transferring them to another location. It's all very understandable and technologically possible, for lack of a better way of putting it. You know, that idea that they had for Star Trek about beaming up and beaming down, it's real. They were inspired by, I don't have all the facts for you, but that is the future, you know. And also when they put some of their food into like a microwave kind of unit and take a couple of pieces of like a couple of pills of red or green stuff and put it into this matter transformation unit like a microwave. And after a few seconds, they open it up and voila, they've got a nice meal, you know, whatever they want, whether it's steak and sizzling mushrooms, or maybe a banana cream pie, or some sausage, or Kellogg's cornflakes, or whatever, you know. And the stuff that they make this out of is could be plant matter, you know. So it has all the right amount of nutrients and nutrition for the body, the optimal amount of calories, and you can't eat too much, you know, and get sick. That's in our future, you know. That is an advanced civilization. So beaming people from one location to another, as I've mentioned, these beings, these ETs out there, they've been in existence for millions of years longer than we have. You have to understand that. You have to believe in the Big Bang, you know, how the universe, the material universe, began to form itself from the center outwards. And I mean, we're billions of light years. You know how far one light year is? The closest star to our star is Alpha Centauri. That's 4 light years away. You know, the fastest propulsion systems we have right now go about, can propel a spacecraft, one of our spacecraft, about 40,000 miles an hour. Voyager 1 and 2 are traveling about that speed. And you know how long it would take at 40,000 miles an hour to get to Alpha Centauri? Quite a few thousand years, you know? Yet these ETs are capable of traveling around the universe in a very quick way because they go like a million times faster than the speed of light. Doesn't that boggle the mind? The speed of light, you know, is 186,000 miles per second. But they're able, not only through warping time and space, but through wormholes and black holes, they're able to go into another dimension, a parallel universe, where it's just like this, like a dreamland, if you will. And things exist. They're real. Just in a dream. It's like in your dreams. But if they want to go from A to B, they want to get somewhere, it's like it's a parallel universe. It's like a dream universe. But what they do is they turn their spaceships into like a thought, if you will. That's hard to imagine. But when they incorporate some plant matter into their spaceships, structure and stimulated through heat and electricity, they're able to change its shape and size, and also cause it to, also when they are able to go close to the speed of light in the material universe. Einstein was right when he said nothing is faster than the speed of light, but when you get close to the speed of light, everything starts to compress and mass starts to compress, and that energy that it is pushing in on a particular spacecraft approaching the speed of light can be used to cause it to go interdimensionally, if you know what I mean. And then, so these ETs, they're capable of having their molecules being transferred, for lack of a better way of putting it, into the thought dimension through maybe ingesting some particular liquid, also having space on, which allows for the transferring of molecules from one dimension to the other, if you know what I mean. And that way they're able to travel around the parallel spirit universe, the thought universe, the dream universe. And then when they reach, it's like a facsimile, if you will, of the material universe. Like, remember the old Polaroid cameras, the negative and the positive print? You know, you would click a picture, and then it would be dark, negative, right? And then all of a sudden, it would be colorful, spring to life, and you have all the colors. Well, if you can compare the spiritual and the material universe to that. That's what I'm trying to say. And anyway, let me move on to another subject. Well, so Christmas, I hope you had a good Christmas. And, you know, I hope I'm, in a way, not disillusioning or saying anything that might dampen the spirit of anybody out there. You know, in regard to Jesus, know that I am a very firm believer in Jesus and the miracles that he performed. And that's what I think we should really focus on, concentrate on those miracles. Don't concentrate on him dying for our sins, because one thing, like I said, I don't believe Adam and Eve is real. It's a fairy tale. We can have a direct relationship with our Creator, the Creator of our souls and spirits. And guess what? You do have a soul and spirit in your body. You can contact them directly. You don't need an intermediary, but that doesn't mean you can't still love Jesus. What he did, he came here to save the world. He had a great mission. That was a very difficult mission, don't you agree? But with the help from the ETs above, he was able to not only perform some of the miracles, but accomplish that mission of dying. That was what he had to do. Once he was dead, Then the rest was a piece of cake. Then they beamed him aboard the spaceship. They brought him back to life, right? Got his heart beating again, got him breathing again. Maybe patched up his holes in his hands and his feet where the nails were on the cross. And then voila, that was step three of their plan. Step one was the birth of the baby, Jesus, who was a different soul, an advanced soul nonetheless, who came from heaven, but crossed over the river of oblivion. You know, when we're born into the material world, we lose our memories of the past life. All our memories of our pre-existence are erased. It's called the river of oblivion. It's like a veil. So they knew that in order to perform all the miracles, they needed somebody who had the knowledge to do that. And the baby Jesus, he didn't have that knowledge, even though he was highly evolved. And he did some great things teaching the scribes and Pharisees and the people of that time in the temples, and he made a good impression, but he didn't have the knowledge to create, to do miracles. That was step two, then. Enter Jesus from the planet Thiouba, living in the human body created by the great, they call him Thiora, very wonderful spirits, incredibly intelligent, very knowledgeable in the ways of the powers of the universe that are at our disposal if we know how to use them properly, if we speak the right words, the powers of the cosmos, with knowledge on how to manipulate those powers with words, you can create planets. You can create suns. And so you can also create bodies. A human body can be created in 24 hours. And it's not an easy thing to create. There's also a lot of other bodies that go inside, a fluidic body, a physiological body, an astral body, all inside the human body. So, but just like in the movie Avatar, they were able to transfer, their spirits, their astral bodies, into, like they did in Avatar, into the blue bodies. So these extraterrestrials were able to transfer their spirits into the human bodies. And the individual who was going to be Jesus, his name there on Thiouba was Arioch, A-A-R-I-O-C, Arioch, a highly advanced soul living on the ninth category planet, the most highly evolved planet in the universe, where there is no war, there is no fighting, animals don't eat each other. All the air and the waters are pristine and pure. There is no fighting. There's only love, joy, happiness. They're praising God, the creator of the universe, constantly. They live in bliss. Everything is done in perfection. They've reached a level of perfection like we can only imagine. Here on Earth, I mean, on this planet, we are the lower rung of the evolutionary ladder, so to speak. You know, think of all the wars we've had in the past. Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, Desert Storm, the Iraqi War, the Afghanistan War, all these wars. Is there any doubt in anyone's mind that we have had a problem with fighting and killing each other in the past? But they don't do that on more advanced planets. They live in harmony. They love each other. I love you. I love everybody out there. Now, I might be angry at somebody for a little while. I'm angry at Mr. Trump sometimes. But I forgive him, you know. He's a man. I don't want to see him die. I don't want any harm coming to him. I know what it's like when you think badly of someone and you say bad things, and the next thing you know, they're dead. And then you're regretting having said some of the things you said. You're in remorse. And I'm smarter than that. I know not to say things that I'm going to later regret. We have to love each other. Why not love each other? Why? What? We should be adoring each other. What is there not to love? You know, that we're hearts, we're brains. We have miles of veins in our body. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, like the Bible says. Hey, yeah, I do love the Bible. You know, I just don't believe all of it, okay? Can I do that? Will you allow me to have that freedom? You know, I don't study the Muslim religion. I don't study the Buddhists. I believe in reincarnation, religion. I don't study Hindus. I like a little bit of each of them. But, you know, we've got to pull together and survive. You know, we don't want to destroy ourselves. You know, we have the capability of destroying ourselves. We have to love each other. Love is the key, you know. And I told you on my last show, one way of doing that is pray for each other. Now, some of you might not have the courage to pray for each other. Some of you might not have the will or the desire to pray for each other. As I mentioned, there was a man, a Vietnam veteran, two tours in Vietnam, comes back to the States. I talked about this in my last show. Bought himself a new Mustang. Going to a party on a Saturday night, doing 100 miles an hour. The front end caught the pavement. It flipped end over end 9 times. Caught on fire. He was thrown. He had a gaping head wound. He had a near-death experience. Guess what? It's really true. Just like the accident is really true. He saw God. God appeared in front of him, a beautiful being of light, like twice the size of a man. Even though God, I believe, from what I've read from my research, is a spirit, the father and the mother, are about the size of, if you put maybe two-story houses together, they're that big. I'm like, so if you run up to them, up to their throne, as tall as you are, you would probably only come up to the top of their feet. And that would be like a spirit in the spirit form. You know, you've seen movies, what the spirit looks like. It's translucent, can also be transparent. But when you get into the throne room, I mean, there's power there, whooshing and smoke, and there's lightning and thunder, and there's a lot of stuff going on. You know, the redeemed are there. There's angels flying everywhere. There's praise all the time. Because one thing we don't do here on earth, would you start doing this, please? Because I do it a lot, and you should be doing it too. Praise each other. Say good things about each other. Good job. Well done. I like the way you did that. You did that very well. I especially like, you know, how you did this. I think you're a very intelligent person. You're wonderful. You know, you're awesome. I love you. Say I love you more to people. I love you so much. You know, I love you because you're alive. It reminds me of a song by Gary Wright called My Love is Alive. It goes like this. It starts out, well, I think it's time to get ready to realize just what I have found. I have been only half of what I am. It's all clear to me now. My heart is on fire. My soul's like a wheel that's turning. My love is alive. My love is alive. Yeah, yeah. My love is alive. Your love is alive, my friends out there. So, prayer. But you know that what that being told that guy that was in that car crash? He said, man will pray, P-R-E-Y, on man, until man learns to pray, P-R-A-Y, for man. Do you remember that for me, please? Do that favor. What God, straight from the words of God himself, okay? But maybe it sounded like something like this. Man will pray on man until man learns to pray for man. But just imagine if my voice was like a sound of rushing waters, not female, not male, not loud, not calm, but all encompassing, not quiet, but all encompassing, a voice like that. And you hear those words, man will pray on man until man learns to pray. Man, there's the key right there. That's the key to our salvation, the future of the human race, so that we don't destroy each other. Pray that we pray for each other. Let me say a prayer right now. Mother and Father God in heaven, great co-creator gods in the most highest, I know that once upon a time you lived on a planet like this as you were going through your evolutionary process, and you reached that stage of co-creator God to the process of reincarnation, and you live many lives. So I'm saying a prayer right now. I pray that you would bless all of us, please, here on planet Earth. Bless us all. Like Tiny Tim said in the Christmas Carol, but not only that, please protect us. Protect us from the virus. We're a young species and we need your help. Help us to love each other, please. Please save us. Help us. We need your help. We love you very much. Amen. Talk to you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.